Animal Voices has an objective, and we envision a world where the human race will finally make peace with the animal kingdom. We also envision that human beings will no longer kill, maim, torture, and exploit fellow beings for food or any other purpose. We recognize that animals have fundamental rights, and that these rights include that animals be treated with compassion and mercy, and that they should be accorded many of the rights that human beings expect to be able to take for granted. We know that one day these fundamental rights will be internationally recognized. Welcome everyone, you're listening to Animal Voices coming to you on CFRO Radio 102.7 FM in Vancouver, also affectionately known as Co-op Radio. This program is presented to you by volunteer members of the Vancouver Humane Society, Earth Safe Canada, and the Animal Defense and Anti-Vivisection Society. My name is Carl Loskin, and the producer of this program is Lindsay Bickford. Marge Adams represents the Vancouver Humane Society, and John Pranger, our webmaster, posts many of these programs on our webpage. And we invite everybody to have a look at our webpage, which is www.animalvoices.org. What could be easier? And, of course, we have a great program for you today. In today's program, you will hear a concept about food, about the food we eat. And it's a concept that's been there for millions, if maybe thousands of years. And it's nothing new, but it needs to be revived in this day and age. We will contact Victoria Botenko and her amazing raw food family. And in the studio today, we also have, on the subject of raw foods, we have Catherine Marion of the ThirdEyePhoto.com. And Marge Adams is also in the studio, and maybe you'd just like to say hello there.
Oh, hello.
And we always have to start off with a few events that's been in the news this week. So what did you see in the papers this week?
Well, I saw a couple of items in the Vancouver Sun about whales, and I would like to mention them. The first one is about Keiko, the killer whale, who became famous as the star of Free Willy. He turned up in Norway in a fjord 6 weeks after he was returned to the wild from his pen in Iceland. The orca surprised and delighted Norwegians, who petted and swam with him and climbed on his back as he splashed in the fjord, which was about 4,400 kilometers northwest of Oslo. He is completely tame and clearly wants company, said Birger Nishan, who was in a small rowboat with his 12-year-old daughter when they spotted Keiko on Sunday. He said, "We were afraid, but then he approached us and it came to our cabin dock. At first, we were skeptical, and then we tried petting his back. Finally, the children went swimming with him." He said the orca stayed with their dock all night and into the next day, happily eating fish tossed to him by the family. Keiko had spent most of his life in captivity, so volunteers spent years training him in order to get him conditioned to the wild. He was released from the pen in Iceland in July and swam nearly 1,400 kilometers to western Norwegian fjord. Norway is the only country that commercially hunts whales, but fortunately they don't hunt orcas. Keiko was captured near the Iceland in 1979. He was two and spent most of his life in captivity in Canada and Mexico, so it's a giant step forward for Keiko to be out in the wild swimming. One other item on whales, and this is a good news story from several island nations in the South Pacific who have set up whale sanctuaries. These nations include the Cook Island, French Polynesia, Samoa, Papua New Guinea, and environmentalists are hopeful that soon Fiji and the Solomon Islands will join the group. South Pacific area has been non-whaling for some time, in fact, since the 1970s. But there is concern that it could happen that the Japanese will extend their scientific whaling, as they call it. It's not very scientific, it's just whaling, but it's given that name in order to justify doing this nasty business. But at least that's one good news item, I think, about improvement in the habitat of the whale.
Yes, thank you, Marge. Well, one concern that many people who love whales have is that Keiko would not be able to survive in Norway. She mm-hmm. swam from Iceland to Norway, and mm-hmm. that when it gets too cold there, what are they going to do with her? And so how will she survive?
Yes, I don't know the answer to that, Carl.
And mm-hmm. That's what the dilemma is facing the organization right now. So mm-hmm. they'll have to maybe airlift her like they did with Springer, the whale, take her somewhere else where she can survive in warmer weather, where there isn't ice mm-hmm. blockage. Mm-hmm. So the other item in the newspaper, Nicholas Reed wrote in the Vancouver Sun about a dog called Tessa that digs around in the backyard of a Richmond family yard and came up with some black gourmet truffles. And you know, these truffles, they sell for hundreds of dollars a kilo, and a truffle dog that can smell, often they use pigs, often pigs are, because they have such an acute sense of smell, they can smell it. Well, this dog called Tessa was delivering on the table of the happy of their owners these little pieces that looked like a rat excrement, I think that's what they used, and the rodent dung, they called it. So they didn't know where it was. Eventually, one of them had a good look at it, and they took it to somebody from the Mycological Society, and it was been identified. So Tessa is permitted to dig in the yard there. So it's a rather lovely story. Well, as I said, we have quite a full program today, and here's one little caption that I really liked, I read somewhere, and was about somebody, a student who approached a wise man, since we're dealing much with food and diet today. A student approached a wise man and asked, how important is the food we eat? Very important, said the wise man. But more important than the food we eat is what we think. But more important than what we think is the company we keep. Well, I love the company we keep on Animal Voices and all the good people that listen to us every week and who love to hear message of what's happening in the animal world. So we have been privileged to hear, to contact Victoria Botenko. She lives in Ashland in Oregon. So over to Control Room, and let's get through to Victoria Botenko. It is indeed a privilege to be in touch with a family this time rather than an individual. And we have reached the Botenko family from who live in Ashland, Oregon. And they are the authors of the book Raw Family and another book called 12 Steps to Raw Foods. Hello, Victoria.
Hello.
And you know, it's been said that cooked food is to die for, live food is to live for. And what is your comment on that?
Our life doesn't revolve around food anymore, but that's what we say. Live food is to live for, yes.
And so could you tell us how you came into being involved with raw foods?
First of all, we became very, very ill, all four of us. My husband had terrible thyroid, and he had very bad arthritis. He was crippled. My son, Sergey, was diagnosed with diabetes at the age of nine. My daughter had asthma, and I had a bad heart condition called arrhythmia. It's irregular heartbeats. And then accidentally we met a lady who told us about raw food. Before that, we were desperate. Doctors told us they couldn't help us anymore. And when we tried raw food, miraculously, our symptoms started to vanish within 2 weeks. And within 2 months, the major symptoms disappeared. And now we're completely healthy. It's been already 8.5 years on a 100% raw food diet.
Well, that seems like just wonderful, but what do you mean by raw food? Maybe you can explain that to listeners.
We don't have a stove in our house. We don't cook anything. Everything we eat is raw. What we use to prepare our food are blenders, Cuisinart processors, dehydrators. We chop, we slice, we mix food, fruits, vegetables, nuts, and seeds.
So give us an example of a dinner plate.
Dinner plate, live garden burger with mashed avocado puree and salad, soup, for example, Thai soup with dehydrated crackers made out of flaxseed, and some nice frozen banana ice cream.
Yes, I had the privilege of trying some of those at the Raw Festival in Oregon in Portland a few weeks ago. I'm happy to say that I've been raw since and been feeling great. So you just talked about a live garden burger. What would the ingredients be of a live? How can you have a garden burger and it be like raw food?
The very important thing when we make a garden burger that to gain the texture of a real burger and the color and the look of a real burger and the taste, actually. So you wouldn't believe it. We make it from carrots, almonds, celery. We add poultry seasoning, which make it taste like, it's just a bunch of herbs, but it makes it taste like burger. And then onion, garlic, some olive oil. And that. Then we make those little patties that looks like burger.
And also you had making, you know, most people consider soups to be cooked, and you know, when you come to Vancouver, you're going to be presenting us with a gazpacho.
Yes.
And some raw soups, uncooked. Maybe you can just whet our appetites a little bit here.
We will take heirloom tomatoes and blend them in the blender and put chunks of avocado, so that will taste like a cooked potato in a soup. And then we'll also blend some basil, fresh basil, some extra virgin cold-pressed olive oil with that, some lemon juice, some cayenne pepper. We'll also put chunks of bell peppers in there. That will taste deliciously. People, even who never ate raw food, try it, and they say, wow, this is so good.
Victoria, I wonder if you could tell us, you know, if people are going raw, what is it in raw foods that is making such a big difference to the people's health?
When we cook food at the temperature over 118 degrees, we kill all the enzymes. The food without enzymes is very hard to digest, and the body spends about 75% of energy of the body to digest that food. That's from the book by Edward Howell, a famous American nutritionist. The book is called Enzyme Nutrition. So when we eat raw food, the 75% of the body energy is saved. And we have flood of energy. That energy goes towards healing the problems in the body, and we just feel great.
What is the magic of enzymes? People talk about protein all the time. So now this, we're saying the minerals are important and the enzymes are important.
The enzymes is life. Enzymes is energy. When we eat the food that's full of energy in it, then we get this energy and we use it to live better, to be healthier, to have more energy.
So the enzyme is energy itself.
Yes.
And when we're consuming that, we're getting the direct energy.
We get directly energy from the sun, yes.
Is there from the sun?
Uh-huh.
The source of all life on Earth, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. We are more lively. Yes. And we have more energy to live, more energy to love, more energy to do whatever is our choice. Just for everything.
Is there a difference between living foods and live foods? And do you have a preference for either one of them?
The raw food is anything that has not been cooked. The live food is the food that is still living while eating it. For example, sprouts. While you're consuming sprouts, they're still living. Living food is the most fresh food. For example, if you just picked up the ripe fruit off the tree and you're eating it, it's still living while you're eating it. When it's been in the storage for 1 month, it's less living. So living food is just high-quality raw food.
So the longer you store it, the enzymes get destroyed or they die?
They just kind of a little bit, yeah.
And then when you heat the food, the enzymes are completely destroyed, or are some of them left over? Or
when you eat the food, while going through your body, it gives you more energy, and it saves all these enzymes that otherwise you would waste on digesting cooked food. When you're eating cooked food, 75% of your personal metabolic enzymes will be wasted to digest this part of cooked food.
Right, so it's a very efficient way of eating.
Yes. Eventually you will be eating so much less, and you will spend so less money, and you will have more energy, you will sleep more. You'll sleep less, you'll have more time of the day. Some raw fooders sleep only 3 to 5 hours, and they have abundance of energy. Especially you could see the change better in children. For example, my two children are 16 and 17. They do so well. They're both already in college. This is going to be their third year in college. And they do so many, like they run marathons. They're very physical, very active, and they play musical instruments, and they travel and do lectures and write books. It gives much more energy for people to do everything.
I love the pictures in your book, A Raw Family, and all those happy people. I was just inspired by just looking at the pictures of your family and Sergei and Valya.
Yes.
And the beautiful flowers that you all hold. It's a joyous occasion. Now, at what stage of man's evolution did we start destroying our food by cooking it?
I think that because the cooked food triggers in our body some pleasant hormones like endorphins and melatonin. Whenever we consume cooked food, the body throws some of the pleasant hormones in the blood, and we feel pleasure. And that pleasure is very addictive. So when people eat cooked food, it's much more concentrated feeling of pleasure. And that's why people went to such a long trouble to create a cooked food. So when they tried it first, they wanted to have it again and again, just like a drug. It sounds very radical, I know, but that's true. If anybody who doesn't believe that tries to go on raw food for 24 hours, even for 100% raw food, they won't be able to do that. At some point, they will subconsciously begin to gorge cooked food in the body. So that's why we have created this special program that we call 12 Steps to Raw Food. It's very similar to AA groups, when we teach people how step by step learn and stay on raw food, because it's very hard to do by the willpower.
Could you just enumerate some of the steps to make it easier for people to make this transition?
One step is how to live in peace with the rest of the world. For example, when we go on raw food, very often we feel like we're superior, and we tell other people, oh, stop eating that crap in front of me. I don't think this is the right thing to do. I think we should tell people we love you, not for what you eat, but who you are, and we should tell them, it's not about you, it's about me. I'm going to try it, and I don't even expect you to try food with me. Then people will be relieved around us. They'll feel that we're just trying to improve our health. We're not trying to impose on them. Then another step says, stay away from temptations. Don't bring temptations home. Don't just hang out where temptations are. And then another one says, learn how to make at least one type of food tasty. And there's also another step that says, create a personal support group for yourself. When you have daily support, when you can talk to someone, when you feel angry, hungry, tired, or depressed, that's when we're prone to get to fall off the wagon, so to speak. You know, some people have to go on raw food if they want to survive. For example, if they have cancer and already doctor told them they have 60 days to live and nothing could be done, those people very often they choose to go on raw food and majority of them get well. If they don't know how to stay on raw food, they fail, and then they cry, they write me letters, they call, they email, they say, Victoria, I don't know how, subconsciously I begin to gorge myself with cooked food. Help me, and that's why we came up with this program. Now, when they go through that program, then they're able to stay on raw food, even in this quote-unquote cooked world.
Right. You know, yesterday I had one of these cravings that you talked about, and you know, I was nearly like the alcoholic who went back to the bottle.
Uh-huh.
And I, you know, fortunately, I went to Organics at Home in North Vancouver and for advice, and I said I was nearly falling by the wayside.
Uh-huh.
And they, what they did was, he said, well, let's have a few dates. It's very satisfying.
Uh-huh.
And then he said, I got a special treat for you. Well, put a few raw almonds inside the date. You know, after a little while, I felt, so I had quite a few of that, few handfuls of dates, of almonds, and I felt amazingly satisfied. So, you know, that's the story here of presenting the alternatives.
Yes,
and maybe you can just give us some of the alternatives to, of course, you know, that one could be here when one's having a weak moment.
I think the best thing would be to go to the raw cafe that you have in Vancouver. You're really lucky to have that there, where there's lots of delicious food at affordable prices. Also, I know that there is a raw Seattle, rawvancouver.org, where you could get together with a support group that meets every 2 weeks.
That's right.
In Vancouver, there's the whole big movement. I think there are hundreds of people in Vancouver who enjoy 100% raw food living. Lots of families with children who enjoy their good health and energy on raw food. I think that will be the quickest thing I would recommend you to do.
And you know, Victoria, you're going to be our biggest spokesperson in about a week's time, so let's tell the people that you're coming to Vancouver, and it's going to be a wonderful event because you're presenting the people of Vancouver with this wonderful introduction to raw foods and a raw gourmet dinner and talk and the privilege of meeting you.
And not only going to be I there, but my whole family is going to be there. And my children, if this is the first time my whole family is coming, and my children will be talking about the teen subjects. Peer pressure and how to help children to stay on raw food and how to help families to stay on raw food. We think that the future of raw food is in families that are doing raw food lifestyle.
So
for example, in my family, we have canceled our medical insurance 7 years ago.
You know, I'm going to just talk about the dinner, which is going to be in the Kitsilano area. But it's we're going to have an appetizer, a soup, an entree, and a talk. And you're going to show a two-minute video. How can anybody want to miss that on Friday, September the 13th at 6 p.m.? We're inviting everybody to come and phone Rose. And I'll give the number here. It's Vancouver, and it's 604-408-0770. Have your pencils handy. I'll repeat the number. Call Rose at 604-408-0770, and her email address is rawrose@shaw.ca. And you know, if people want to check your webpage, maybe you can give that to us now too.
It's very easy, rawfamily.com. Yeah, and the video that we're going to show will it's only a two-minute video. What the cooked food creates in the blood, how the blood changes instantly from somebody eating a piece of cooked potato. That's a very, very sensational video we're going to show.
Okay, and it says it all in a very few words. So you've covered a tremendous, it was a tremendous appetizer here. But, you know, I just wanted to ask you something about the average Western diet, and when people are making transition, and of course what we're seeing is that the vegetarians are indeed a fractious group. We have vegetarians, we have vegans, we have lacto-ovos, and now we have the most, on the top spiral of here, we have the raw gourmet people, the raw people. And how do you see everything working together within the vegetarian community?
It works just fine. I think that the vegetarian restaurants need to include the raw menu, or I guess just a couple of dishes on the menu, so people who eat raw food could have more opportunities to go out and eat with their friends. And people, those who eat vegetarian, they make much easier transition to raw food than those who eat meat. I think especially parents who have children should be really interested into that, because I'll just give you one fact. My son, Sergi, he's going to be 18 soon, and so we went to the dentist and checked if he needs to have his wisdom teeth pulled. And we were so pleasantly surprised when dentist said, well, this is the best teeth I've seen in many years in young teenager. And the second, his teeth are perfectly straight, and they don't need to be pulled at all. They have plenty of space in his jaw. He says he probably has enough minerals in his body. He developed good jaw. And I was so happy about that.
That's so good. And you know, what's amazing is that people have so much energy. You explained so well how it takes so much of our energy to digest the food, and the payback is such a small percentage. So
yes, and also I've noticed that people who eat raw food, they're much more mellow, they are more relaxed, they're not tight. The energy is flowing much more balancedly, yeah.
Would you say one evolves to a more spiritual life as well?
Definitely. We become more sensitive to any lie, to any something that is not real. We tend to be more truthful on raw food diet. Yes.
We invite all our listeners to hear not only the raw message, but a true story of awakening, not only of your own physical body, but also a spiritual awakening. And at the dinner on the 13th of September, you can hear some 200 stoveless recipes that will be in Victoria Botenko's book. And so we invite everybody to come and make it a very happy occasion, lots of smiling faces and lots of joy expressions as they taste these wonderful new recipes. We look forward to seeing you in Vancouver on the 13th of September.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to meet everybody. And Vancouver always reminds me of Russia. It's my motherland. So I'm looking forward to come to Canada again.
Thank you, Victoria.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for being on Animal Voices.
Thank you.
I'd like to also remind everybody that to attend that Friday evening dinner, raw dinner, it's the cost is only $15. And you can show the video, going to present the food preparation demonstration, and meet Victoria Botenko herself. That's this coming Friday. And of course, the number to call is Rose 604-408-0770. So hope to see many of our co-op radio listeners there. You're listening to Animal Voices on Co-op Radio 102.7 FM, and we have a wonderful piece of music right now. It's called, and it's by privilege of a program which starts at 2 a.m. and goes on till 7 a.m. and it's in the last Monday of every month. And with your hostess Virginia, who comes and brought us these animal-friendly songs from the olden days, and I have particular affection for these. And today we're going to hear Run, Rabbit, Run. It was from Flanagan and Allen in 1939.
On the farm, every Friday on the farm. It's rabbit pie day, so every Friday that ever comes along, I get up early and sing this little song. Run, rabbit, run, rabbit, run, run, run. Run, rabbit, run, rabbit, run, run, run. Bang, 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 bang goes the farmer's gun. Run, rabbit, run, rabbit, run, 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 run. Run, rabbit, run, rabbit, run, run, run. Don't give the farmer his fun, fun, fun. He'll get by without his rabbit pie. So run, rabbit, run, rabbit, run, run, run.
Thank you, Virginia, for your wonderful song. It gives our whole program a whole lift up here. As said before, we have Catherine Marion here today, and she is really interested in higher vibrations, and she does it through her eating and food, and she is the walking illustration of vibrant good health, and I can see that as she's smiling at me right here. Not only good health, but she is positive, and she's positively reincarnated. So welcome to Animal Voices, Catherine.
Thank you, Carl.
And could you tell us how you came about raw foods?
Well, Victoria Botenka has been a major inspiration, I can tell you that without a doubt. I attended her workshop a year and plus ago, and before that I had read Howell's book on enzyme nutrition, and I started listening to my body. I stopped thinking and started feeling. Yes.
So you're going back to the origins of what man evolved from for millions of years.
Yes, and also, as Victoria had stated in her tape precluding this, about the truth. I've been doing affirmations aloud and in my journals for years about I am the truth. So you put out that message enough, it comes to you. Like Muhammad doesn't have to go to the mountain comes to Muhammad. So I started listening and taking note and paying attention and living in the now, like Eckhart Tolle. And so the food was a part of it. I started letting go. That meant letting go of old ideas, old beliefs, old people that no longer worked for me in my life, and into the new, a new world. I did a 180, and then I did a 360, and I'm graduating. You're invited.
Were you a vegetarian before you came a Ross?
Yes, it was an easier transition, again, as mm-hmm. Victoria states, mm-hmm. before this, because mm-hmm. I didn't eat animal products. I had been letting go for decades, actually. I'm now 42, so when I was 20, I became vegetarian, without really the title or the name. It was just choices. Mm-hmm. And then I let go of the feta cheese years and years ago, and then the chicken years ago. When I became pregnant with my son is 6 and a half, that's when I really started listening, because something and someone was growing in my body. Beauty was coming through me, and there was no way I could deny that I was a beautiful, blessed person as well, that my body is a sacred temple, and my son is my magical mirror. So I started listening to my instincts and following my intuition.
I'm really interested in instincts and that we become alive to what our inner senses are telling us, because I feel we're being bombarded with so many different aspects, so much media, so much of everything, that from early childhood that we lose this. And I'd like to know how you got in touch with this.
I'll tell you something I wrote.
Tell us, what is an instinct?
Okay, just on what you said about, I'll just tell you something I wrote this morning. I'd rather be a master of ascension than a master of dissension. When you're talking about, it's like a radio station with static, except the static's on the outside now. I realize that I am the creator of my own world, as we all are, and that those are just distractions, hurdles, obstacles, barriers, and most of them I put behind me. And by listening, by paying attention, by taking a breath, I breathe deeply, I think deeply, I care deeply. I wrote a bunch of stuff about that this morning too. Everything's about going deep inside, and that's where the truth is. If one doesn't go within, one goes without. And one can't be the truth, one can't even tell the truth until one is the truth, and that means to be the truth. And one of my mottos is do nothing, be everything, something I've recently written as well.
So you've started something called the Third Eye
Photo.com. Yes, and it's FOTO, the Italian spelling, just because the other wasn't available. And also I've started something called supernaturalwoman.com, and those websites will be up by the end of the month. And they are about to help to guide people on their path. And actually the back of my card of Supernatural Woman says, meet you on the path. And then there's a quote by Sam Gracie about how I am, some quote-unquote, you are a brilliant, bright light in this world, a holy woman. You're here to lead us, to guide us. We need you. Love, Sam. But I raised the love, just in case someone misunderstands. And I started taking these people that I was meeting, these amazing creators and motivational speakers. I met people like Mark Victor Hansen, Chicken Soup for the Soul. I've met all these incredible people, and I started realizing, my God, there's an affinity here. I don't have to listen to the lies people were telling me. I was looking at the negatives and tearing myself apart and not getting to the truth. And now I believe in myself and have faith in the universe, and I realize that I am a living organism.
Which came first, your knowledge of the spiritual or your rawism?
When I was born as a babe is, like a flower in the wind, I was raw then. We all were mother's milk. I was raw and real, like all of us. Perfect skin, perfect hair, perfect eyes, insights, delights, insightful, delightful. And then something happened. I listened to a lot of people that had lost their joy, that had lost their luster, their zest for life. And I started losing my dreams. And then I, through the last seven, like heaven, the last few years when I became pregnant, I started dissecting my life, and really, first I started tearing myself apart, and I went through the whole gamut. My body started manifesting not so nice of things, like my legs started to go, my beautiful, blessed body that I had taken for granted. I took a lot of things for granted in my life, and I started to lose my life. And I realized that it started in my mind, my thinking processes, my belief system, that I never believed in myself. I believed what other people told me, but I didn't look at their projections. Now I know that I'm one of the most magical mirrors, shining my light out brightly out there. And that's so, that's just, everything's a bonus after that. Mm-hmm. Everything.
So what does it do to people that so many of them live in denial of what it means to consume animal products?
Fear. You either come from fear or you come from love.
What is the fear?
The truth.
Getting
through all of the barriers people put up for themselves. how people about so for, okay, people prostitute themselves. It's not about an exchange of money. It's not about sex. It's about selling your soul. And I've realized that I'd sold my soul many times. There is no devil. It's light or dark. And I in my search for the truth, I realized that, to be completely honest, that I allowed myself to be raped. You know, it's not about sex either, that as well. But I allowed things that happened to me because I wasn't embracing my power. And my power is to be in alignment with Mother Nature. And one of my poems is, Mother Nature cradles me in the palm of her hand. That I am the sunset, I am the flower, and we all are. And that it's not good enough what I see outside of me. That's somebody, often it's someone's dark fairy tale. And I can rewrite that story. And when it's bright and sunny, I wrote that story. I took that picture. And that's where Third Eye comes in as well. And just to through my lens of love, that's how I look at life.
And you had a dream last night.
Yes, I did, this morning after you Lindsay's did? Call. It was Lindsay.
What did you dream?
Producer. Oh, this was about Sam Gracie, because Sam Gracie will be speaking again, and he's a mentor in many ways, because he's inspired me about looking at embracing my own power. And it was Sam Gracie was looking at some pictures of pigs I'd taken, which I've yet to take. And they were shadows and light. And what did I say? What was about the composition? I said something about the composition. He said, no, the composition, I had mentioned this to you earlier. I've got it in my journal somewhere. I don't want to flip the pages. But it was about the composition. He said, the composition is always different when about being a hero. About what were the words I told you, Lindsay? It was about being, when you're special, when you're different, there's always a different composition. And molecularly as well, I am a different person. I've reactivated my DNA. I've opened up hemispheres of my brain, and I've opened up my heart. And violet love rays are being sent out there. Mm-hmm. And I'm not afraid that someone's going to say, oh, what a foolish gal she is. Look at her. Or she's an easy mark or a target, because I realize that I'm only a target if I choose to be. So I target the organic food, the fresh produce. I go right to the market. I feed my son raw honey. Raw honey, bee pollen. We soak our kamut, seeds of life. What we eat is our seeds of life. So that react, and also about soaking the nuts. And my friend of mine says, Catherine, you should write a book called "Oh, Go Soak Your Nuts." People kind of like my humor, so I might put that out there.
So we started off by saying you're a person who's walking illustration of vibrant good health. I wish everybody could see
that's a quotable,
what Catherine
yes.
looks like. And you have a child here.
Yes,
so,
I do.
So can you tell us about how you raised a child, and okay. maybe you'd like to say a few things? Tell us a little bit about this gift you have.
My son is my inner child on the outside. Here's my walking heartbeat. Come on over here, Kaylin.
Okay, so he's going to say something there. He's busy throwing little airplanes, paper airplanes in the studio here. Maybe you'd like to tell us something, tell everybody in British Columbia something that you want them to know.
Go ahead. Well, I eat honey and cereal when I wake up and do something.
tell us what you drink. Tell us what you drink.
I drink a...
Speak into the mic. Come on. Okay, speaking to the mic.
I drink apple cider vinegar water mm-hmm. that I really like.
Loves it.
And fruit salad.
Soy milk? No soy milk, because that's not pure, it's cooked. Yes.
And what about fruit juice?
No.
He has raw fruit juices only. Tell him about the juice, the carrot juices.
I drink carrot juices and... when my mum makes carrot juice and
with what else
I play that? With my toys too.
Yes. What do you like to eat when you're very hungry?
Fruit salad and honey.
Do you find those filling? And what about the dates, the fresh ones, with what do we put inside them?
I just ate some dates right now.
You snuffed them again, didn't you? He eats dates with soaked walnuts. We love those. Best in them.
What I loved about Victoria Butenko, that she said two things that I think most people would be amazed at. First of all, she has no stove in her fridge, in her kitchen. And she has no stove in her kitchen. Would look like a vacant place there. But she also has no medical insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And how about you?
We don't go to the doctor. I've had the Ministry of Families keep an eye on me for many years now, especially being a single mother by choice and necessity, subnuclear family. And when you are, unfortunately, I believe, living in the center of the universe, like crystallization, manifestation, yet you're seen as looking on, you know, living on the edge, fringe, pretty scary, better stop that. So they actually forced my son to go to a dentist, to go to doctors, to go get all these evaluations at the Children's Hospital. They forced, they have the power to do that external. Sure enough, A pluses. My son is 75 percentile tall for his age. I mean, not that these matter, but in this world they do. So 75% taller than other children. Must be something beyond what's in the milk. And also, and the mother's milk only, not another species. And also his teeth. He had little things on his teeth, little indentations from, unfortunately, a drug-free mama and some things that they, you know, put inside me on a big horse's needle when I was delivering my son 34 hours, you know, during all that time. And what happened was there was some modeling in my son's teeth, thanks to the blessed doctors. So my son got reinvented with the raw foodism, all of that. He has had eight brand new adult teeth by the time he was the end of five. Most children don't even have a small handful of perfect teeth, too. So the modeling is gone, all of that. His mouth is perfect. There's no need for braces, anything like that, like a lot of children. He's only been to a dentist because the Ministry of Family forced us to go there. There's nothing that anyone can say about a negative that way. And my son is, again, pure energy. Like in the back of my Supernatural Woman card, pure living energy. Be the best you can be. Walk in wonder with me, except the words are rearranged. Goddess blessed is she. Because we do, we can bless ourselves. We have so much power within this ecosystem called our body. We have an ocean of life flowing within us.
Do you spread the word a lot?
Absolutely. People ask me all the time. I was at the nutrition house looking up some pricing for some products I wanted to get last night, and the girl said, "Do you speak?" She meant en masse. I said, "It's going to happen because I'm writing a book right now called A Return to Innocence, and Sam Gracie has a publisher for me." He said, "Catherine, first you write the book." So I'm just doing it as it comes along, and I will be speaking en masse. But as many people as I can touch, as many hearts as I can open, I do.
Oh yeah.
We're going to have a little break now, and I'm just going to hand the microphone to Virginia. And what's this song going to be?
Oh, hi. Greetings, everybody, and salutations. I've got a very cute little song that was very popular in 1934, sung by Cliff Ukulele-like Edwards, and it's called My Dog Loves Your Dog. But I just want to emphasize that this is a different type of breed of a dog. This is one with two legs. The other kind with the four legs is the rich man's guardian and the poor man's friend, the only creature faithful to the end. But see if you get the hidden message from this song. My Dog Loves Your Dog, 1934, and you are there. And here's a blast from the past. Take it away, maestro.
Pardon me, but if I may, I would like to speak to you. Maybe you have noticed too, our dogs have learned to care. You can see it in their eyes, you can hear it in their sighs. Winchell mentioned it today, they are very much that way. My dog loves your dog, and your dog loves my dog. If our doggies love each other, why can't we? My dog's a he-dog, and your dog's a she-dog. I wish you loved me the way that he loves she. Don't they look sweet every time they meet beneath their favorite tree? My big Airedale wags his little tail to tell your terrier he's crazy to marry her. My dog loves your dog, and your dog loves my dog. If our doggies love each other, why can't we? Your dog loves my dog, and my dog loves your dog. If our doggies love each other, why can't we? All night he's whining because he keeps pining to be with her the way I'd like to be with you. I take him out and he runs about to see if she is in sight. By his nose he knows every place she goes. He calls to her, bow, wow, wow, I love you, and how, wow, wow. My dog loves your dog, and your dog loves my dog. If our doggies love each other, why can't we? Your dog, my dog. If our doggies love each other, why can't we? Look how she pets him, and look how she lets him play around the way I'd like to play with you. Chows and Pekingese, who have pedigrees, are crazy over my hound. But your little mutt simply got him nuts, and he'd gladly give her his last piece of liver, 'cause my dog loves your dog, your dog loves my dog. If our doggies love each other, why can't we?
Just do a little summary. Hi there, and now we're going to have, and the reason why the hens are so blue is that there is no rooster in the hen house. And we've got another little song here, and it's by Johnny Dodds. It's all the way from 1926. I hope you love it too. So, rooster. Your music came today from you, courtesy of Virginia, the hostess with the mostest, and she is, of course, on at 2 a.m. to 7 a.m. every morning, early, the first Monday of every month. So I hope you can listen to that program, and thank you, Virginia. So I'm going to ask Catherine Marion to give us a little recap of the program today and many of the things she'd like to say. She's a lady with many words.
Yes, I'm a mother on a mission and a woman with a vision. And as Gloria Botenka did state so earnestly and honestly, it is about living energy, pure living energy. And when we eat from the seeds of life, we become. And we, with the unlocking, the inhibitors unlocked with the soaking of the seeds and the nuts and the ingesting and digesting of that, we also digest innate knowledge, like universal core truths. And that's why my son and I are the subnuclear family, ingesting and digesting and imbibing and sending out this message. And just by being shining examples in this life, all of us, the way that we are, I am becoming the way I was always meant to be. And I forgot what I was and who I was and what I was about. And that's what I'm finding. And it's a wonderful discovery. And to be able to share that and to be able to casting crew, as we all are here, to en masse go to the heart of the core of the truth.
Yes. Catherine, maybe you'd mention the idea of cooked food being an addiction.
Absolutely, because I was one of those people. Well, I still get pangs.
Really? Oh, yes. I wonder if that would be one of the reasons why people become obese.
Mm-hmm. First of all, people feed their, I don't even say palates, because that's a more gourmet term, and that's more when you're paying attention, I would hope. But hope isn't enough, I tell you that. People become obese because people don't look at what they have to feed. You have to feed your soul, you have to feed your spirit, your psyche, your heart. You have to feed not just your stomach. Most people are running on empty. They're starved for affection, they're starved for love, they're starved for so much, and they feed themselves on empty calories. Thus, that worthlessness becomes, if not already, it's feelings of worthlessness, and that's where it goes deep down within.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, cooking converts digestible food into substances that are difficult to digest. Would mm-hmm. you agree with that?
Yes, and it's a squandering of one's power. It's a wasting of energy. It's a waste of energy, of precious personal energies.
Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. we thank you very much for your spiritual insight here. And Marge, would you like
yes, I certainly enjoyed listening to you, Catherine.
Thank you, and I enjoyed sharing my truth with both of you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for being with us.
You've been listening to Animal Voices on Co-op Radio 102.7 FM. We come here every Monday to give you a few stories about animals, kindness towards animals, and it's a wonderful component that we work towards to make people aware of factory farming and a kinder world for everyone, including the humans. So good night, everybody, and thanks for listening.
Yes, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.